But we want to turn together to Jeremiah chapter 17 and to the passage that we read together. I know something about you. I know something about you. You want your life to be better. You're frustrated at your lack of progress as a Christian. You look back to 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe longer, and you're frustrated that you haven't really grown as you would like, as you think you should. You want to honour God, I know that. I know that about you. You want to worship Him in all of your life. You want to grow. I know something about you. Well, if you want to grow, then listen in. Because the message of this sermon is that glorifying God in everyday life and growing in that happens depending on how you relate to God in every situation of your life. Growth and change as a Christian happens according to how you relate to God in every situation. That's what we're going to see from this passage in Jeremiah. Now let me warn you, this isn't going to be a verse-by-verse exposition with close exegesis of the passage this morning. What we really want to do is to get that image that Jeremiah is using, that image that as the prophet of the Lord he brought to the people of God. We want to use that image, that picture that he paints here. And I'm going to begin by looking at that picture then this morning. So imagine a desert scene. It's the wilderness, it's dry, it's hot, it's arid, there's a hot, blinding sun that is beating down upon you, and in the distance you see two trees. As you move closer, you notice that they are quite different. One is a dry, spiky plant with no leaves and no fruit, and it's almost dying, thorny, fruitless, unattractive. And close by you see a completely different tree, strong and healthy. Its boughs are just laden with green leaves and weighed down with healthy fruit. And alongside that tree there is flowing a river that is clear and blue and sparkling. Well, that was the image that the Lord, through Jeremiah, wanted the people to see. Two very different trees in the same desert. Why is that? What is God communicating to Judah through this picture? Well, God was first of all communicating to them that they were living in a situation. A situation that was like a dry, hot wilderness with the sun beating down in verse 6 there. The wilderness, if you remember, as the people of Judah would have heard this verse, they would have remembered Moses. The wilderness in the time of Moses was a place of difficulty. That was what the wilderness was in the history of the people of God. It was a place of pressure, a place of suffering, a place of temptation. And of course, the burning sun in the Middle East, it's not like over here. We love to see the burning sun at this time of the year, but the burning sun in the Middle East meant crops destroyed. It meant a livelihood under threat. It was a test. Now, for the people of Judah to hear that they were in a wilderness may have sounded strange to their ears, because they may not have thought of their situation in quite that way. They were in, of course, the promised land. They had known prosperity. We read in verse 3 about their substance and their spoil, their wealth and their treasures. They were comfortable. It didn't seem like a wilderness, a place of testing. And yet, of course, we know, don't we, that even an easy life is a place of testing. Even an easy life that seems prosperous is a wilderness. And for Judah, the nations around them were beginning to rise up and were beginning to look threatening. And life was about to become very uncomfortable for them. They were truly in a wilderness and the sun was getting hot. And that's what Jeremiah wanted them to see. And here we are today. And Jeremiah wants us also to see our heat. Let me ask you, what is your wilderness? Where are you tested? What's the heat in your life right now? Is it stress at work? Is it a financial pressure? Maybe it's a disappointment you're facing. Maybe it's a loss. Maybe you face bereavement in recent times. Maybe it's your health, and that for you is the place of testing. That's the heat that's coming at you. Maybe it's someone that you're not getting on with, and that's your wilderness. And as we said, of course, good things can be part of the heat as well. Like Judah, many of us have wealth, relatively speaking. We have opportunity, and yet all of that can bring its pressure and its temptation to us. Maybe for you the heat is a struggle with sin. And of course, it's not just the big things in life that we're thinking about. Because those times of testing are all around us every day. The flat tire. The phone call from someone you really don't want to speak to. One of your children asking for a glass of milk when you're in the middle of 10 other tasks. For me at the minute, part of the heat is decorating. Now, I'm sure there are some of you guys, and you know, whenever you have a ruler in one hand and a paintbrush in the other, you're as happy as Larry. But for me, decorating is a wilderness. It's a time of testing. Having to put the effort in. Drag me out of my laziness. Decorating. Everyday things. They can be a time of testing for us. You see, it's a fundamental part of who we are as people in general and as Christians in particular that we are tested. It's been there since Eden. It's what the wilderness was all about. And it's what Jeremiah wants us to see here. You're living in a wilderness. Let me ask you and ask yourself the question, what is the heat in my life? Where am I being tested? And you see, the importance of this brings us on to our second point and the second thing that Jeremiah wants us to see in this picture. And it's this, it's that we're always responding to that heat. We see that here with Judah, don't we? How were they responding to the tests of the wilderness? And here was the very problem that Jeremiah was wanting them to see in verses 1 and 2. They were turning to other gods. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond, graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of their altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves, that is, places of worship, by the green trees upon the high hills, they were turning to other gods in the midst of this heat. Idolatry is one of the most common ways that sin is spoken of in the Bible. And the problem for us today, of course, is that we have this image in our heads of idolatry as somehow bowing down in front of statues. And of course, in many places in the world, that is the case. But idolatry is not really about statues. Idolatry is about worship. Idolatry is about what you see as important, what you place your worth upon, what you treasure in this life. Idolatry is about what you desire. It's about what you go after in life. Idolatry is about your allegiance. It's about what you're trusting in. When the heat is on, where does your allegiance lie? Where do you turn? What are you trusting in? That was the question for Judah, and it's the question for you today. And when you are desiring and loving and trusting and treasuring things that are other than God and relating to things that are other than God in the midst of your heat in that way, then that's idolatry. That's idolatry. You see, for Judah, it wasn't really the bowing down to images at the high places that was the big problem. That wasn't the central issue. It was that they were trusting in those images to help them and to deliver them in the midst of their heat. They were trusting in those gods. Another way in which their idolatry was manifesting itself was in verse 5. They were trusting in men, turning to men. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see, as they were facing the heat of their problems, they were placing their confidence in their own solutions. They were finding strength in their own ideas, in their own ways of managing their heat. And it had become an ingrained habit. That's what really Jeremiah is getting at in verse 1 when he talks about their sin being written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond that's engraved upon their hearts. It's an ingrained habit, and it was happening in every area of their lives. Verses 2 and 3, the altars and the groves and the green trees and the high hills and the various mountains and so forth and throughout all their borders. In other words, in home and in work and in church, this turning away from the Lord and turning to other things and putting their trust in other things, it was everywhere. It was all over their lives. Their idolatry was enslaving them. Do you see then what was happening here? The heat was on, and it was revealing the idolatry of their heart. I don't know if you've thought about it, but testing situations tend to do that. When things come at you, it tends to reveal where your heart is truly at. It tends to bring out what is in your heart. I could illustrate this if I had a, as well I didn't bring one because I would have had water all over your pulpit here, but if I had had a one of these clear plastic bottles of water that people use a lot these days, if I have the top off it, and if something comes at that bottle of water, what will come out? What will come out is water. If in that bottle there is petrol, and something comes at it and hits it, what will come out? Petrol will come out. And it's the same with our hearts. Whatever comes at you, it will reveal what is in your heart, what your heart is trusting in, what your heart is treasuring in. And so let me ask you the question, when hardships come, what is it that's coming out of your heart? There are some patterns of responses, two major responses, I think, that we see in the lives of the children of Israel when we think back to their wilderness at the time of Moses. We saw them often, didn't we, grumbling and complaining. And what does that reveal about our heart towards God? How we challenge the Lord ultimately when we grumble and complain in the midst of the heat of life. And so often, if we're honest, that kind of grumbling and complaining that we see in the children of Israel, it can become, in a sense, a very acceptable form of sinning and turning away from the Lord. Another response that we saw repeatedly in the lives of the children of God was that they forgot. They forgot. They forgot God. They forgot his blessings. They forgot his word to them. They forgot because of their worry. They forgot because they became prosperous. But they forgot. They turned away from him because they did not remember him. What other things can come out of our hearts when the heat comes on? Well, we can get anxious, can't we? We worry. We allow our minds to conjure up all of the scenarios that can happen, perhaps as we await those test results. Or we keep anxiously checking the bank account at the end of the month as the heat of financial pressure comes in, and that's what comes out of our heart, the anxiety. We can get angry. I suppose that's related also to the grumbling and the complaining. When the heat is on, when someone else is against us, we can begin to think, can't we? We can begin to turn over in our minds of how they're treating us. How dare they? That anger can be coming out of our hearts. Another response that we can make sometimes in the heat is that we can just want to escape. A stressful day at work, and we get home in the evening and all we want to do is numb it all away in front of the TV. Do you see the various responses that can come out of our heart whenever we're turning away from the Lord, whenever the heat comes on? We're like that spiky, dry, fruitless shrub in the desert. What are the thorny ways you're responding to the heat in your life at the moment? And more than that, not only what are those thorny, bad fruit ways that are coming out of your heart in the midst of your heat, but why? Why are you responding in those ways? And essentially, at the core of it, the reason that we bring out that bad fruit in the midst of the heat that comes at us is in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. What's happening when the heat comes on then is that our hearts are departing from the Lord. And that's why we are producing the thorns. That's why we are producing the bad fruit. If you're not a Christian here this morning, then this is true of you all of the time. Because no matter what happens in your life, you are never turning to the Lord. You don't know him. You're blind and you're dead to him. You're always turning away from him, therefore, and so sinning against him. And it's engraved upon your heart. It's always your response. You are never trusting in him. And that is the core problem in your life. And yet, let me ask you also, if you're a Christian, how often is this your response in the midst of the heat, the test of the wilderness? How often is it your response when the unexpected bill arrives or when one of the kids is playing up that we turn away from the Lord, that we trust in our own strength and what comes out is bad fruit? So we thought about what the heat is in your life. And we've asked how you're responding. And we've seen that how you are responding in those everyday situations of heat in your life is reflecting what's in your heart. But next we've got to ask then, how are we going to change? How are we going to change? And in order to do that, we've got to see God in this situation. And that's our next question. That's the third aspect of this picture that Jeremiah gives us. Who is God in this situation? Who is God in the midst of the heat, in the midst of the wilderness that you're facing? Who is God in this place of testing? When the heat of this life is beating down upon you, who is your God? Who is the Lord? Well, he's revealed in this passage indeed as the Lord in verse 5. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. He is the one who has pursued Judah, who has pursued his people, who has come to them, who has made a covenant with them, who has made a special relationship with them, who has promised in grace to love them and to bless them and to keep on blessing them no matter what. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. And not only is he the Lord, but he is the Lord who searches the heart. He is a judge. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. You see, he's the Lord who judges and who then goes on to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, and as he searches, as the Lord searches the heart, what is he seeing? He's seeing this idolatry. He's seeing this turning away from him. He's seeing this forsaking of him. And what Jeremiah is showing us here is that God has to be angry with those who turn away from him. He must punish that. He must punish the turning away from him, or he would not be just. He would not be God if he didn't punish them. And so God promises judgment here to Judah. They will lose their land, verse 4. They will serve their enemies because of this fruit of their hearts that are turning away from the Lord. And here's the reality in verse 5. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. It'll be hard. It'll be bitter. Cursed is the man who turns away from the Lord. It will not go well, ultimately. And you see, again, if you're not a Christian here this morning, that's what the searching God finds this morning in your heart. He finds that soul sickness, that deception, which is telling you that everything is okay. And yet, the heart is deceitful above all things. The story doesn't end there, because there is good news. There is good news. Who is God in the midst of this heat? He is the Lord who pursues us. He's the God who judges and searches the heart. But he is also, in verses 12 and 13, the Lord who is the hope of Israel and the fountain of living water. He's not just a judge, but in verse 13, he is the one in whom they can still expect blessing. They can still expect good to come. O Lord, the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel. There is good to come. There is blessing to come. He is also in verse 5, the trust of his people. Verse 7. He is the trust of his people. He is the hope of his people. He is the one in whom they find refuge, the one in whom they can trust. He is a place of peace and safety to them in the midst of the heat. He is their hope. He is their trust. And not only is he their hope and their trust, but verse 12, he is sovereign. He is upon the throne. He inhabits a glorious high throne, ruling over all of the threats of the wilderness, ruling over all of the dangers. The one who is Lord over that sun that is beating down upon the lives of his people. And so in the midst of dry, arid desert heat, he is also, at the end of verse 13, he is also a fountain of living waters. A fountain of living waters. He gives life, he gives growth, he gives good fruit. How can this be? How can this judge be our hope? How can it be? It can be because Jeremiah's picture is part of a bigger story. It's part of a bigger story. Because these two trees in the wilderness, they point to a third tree. They point to a third tree where God was both judge and was the hope of his people. And of course, that third tree is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he was judged for all of our idolatries, for all of our turning away from him. All of those times in your life when you have turned away from the Lord, that has been heaped upon Jesus Christ at the cross. And there he dies for our sin. And now there is hope. That third tree is a tree of hope to us. God is now a refuge to us if we turn to him. In other words, there is real life. Real life from this fountain of living water. And that is good news. That is the best news. If you are not a Christian this morning, you can turn to him. You can trust in this Lord who searches your heart, because he is not just a judge. He is the hope. He is the salvation of Israel. You can turn to him and trust in him and know real life from that fountain of living water. And this is also good news for you, believer, as well. How will you respond to who God is in your situation? How will you relate to God in your heat? You see, the God that we've been looking at here in this passage in Jeremiah, this is the God who is in your situation, who is with you in your wilderness. He is the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord who will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor stop loving you. Yes, he is a judge who searches the heart, but he is a judge who no longer judges you. He is a judge who is on your side, who searches your heart for your good, and he is your hope of blessing, of good to come. In the midst of your heat, he is your fountain of living water. He gives you real, refreshing, cleansing, thirst-quenching life. He is your refuge in the heat of your life. And my challenge to you is this: are you turning to and trusting actively in this God, in this Savior, in those day-to-day moments of heat, in that wilderness that you're in, whatever test is coming at you? Are you turning to him and putting your trust in him? Is the Lord your hope? Because you will grow depending on how you are relating to God in your everyday situation. This is why you are fed with the truth of God, so that that truth will mean something to you tomorrow morning, whenever you are facing the heat of your situation. And by that truth, you will then turn to the Lord and be trusting in him, whatever you are facing. The other week at work, well, it was the same old heat for me. It was the same old wilderness. There were the same old pressures, and yet there were a few additional pressures. The management in my place of work were under pressure. There were targets to be met. Standards were being monitored. Everybody was feeling the squeeze. Some people higher up the ladder were having to put pressure on those of us that were further down the ladder. And in that heat, I found myself anxious. I found myself getting a bit angry. I was defensive about my work. A lot of it fear was in my own mind, but I found myself turning it over in my mind and getting defensive. I was talking with colleagues at lunchtime about the situation, probably stirring up more anxiety. I was making man my strength as I talked in hushed tones and corridors of the workplace. I was joining in with the grumblers. who were complaining, annoyed at the pressure that we were facing. What was I doing? I was trusting in man and not turning to the Lord in the midst of that heat. Bad roots were then leading to bad fruits. And the outcome, well, I was probably creating more worry. I was probably spreading more discontentment, certainly in my own heart I was. I was most likely misinterpreting and misjudging the situation. I was like a shrub in the desert who does not see any good come dwelling in those parched places in the wilderness. What if in that heat I had turned to the Lord? What if I had made him my confidence, my trust, my refuge? What if I had been living out what I sing on a Sunday? What if I had turned to the Lord and said, Lord, you know this situation. You have me here for your glory. This pressure isn't good, but you are on your throne. You are ruling. You search our hearts, and you are my refuge. What if I had been turning to the Lord in the midst of the heat? What might the fruit of that have been? Less anxiety, less danger of gossip, more constructive, I think, in trying to help in the situation. I would have certainly had more of an attitude of submission to my masters. I might have even prayed for the management. I wouldn't have been joining in with the complainers. And I would have known the blessedness of all of that, the reality of God in my everyday life. And what would I have been doing? I would have been sending out my roots by the stream to that fountain of living water. And I would have been drawing on that living water so that even in the heat, my leaves would remain green. I would not cease to bear fruit. And as I would keep on doing that the next day and the next day and the next week and month and year and keep on growing and not turning to the Lord in those situations in life, do you see how I would be growing? Do you see how I would be changing? Do you see how growing depends on how I relate to God in any given situation? Do you see the relevance of the scriptures, the truth of God in your everyday life? There is heat. There's always heat. And you're always responding. Your heart's always responding in one way or another. And my challenge to you this morning is to ask, is it by faith? Is it by faith? Are you wakening up? Are you seeing who God is in every situation in your life and what he's saying in his word to you? And are you turning to him? Are you placing your trust in him? And as you do, you are sending out roots to that river of living water. And you know what? You then get to live out the fruits of all of this. You get to know the joy, delight of doing that. And it's nothing more than living the normal Christian life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh, for a church. Oh, for a church that's bearing fruit like that.